Psalm 65, 65th Psalm, starting with verse 9. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. Everybody say greatly. The river of God is full of water. Say full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water the ridges abundantly. You settle the furrows. You make it soft and shower. You bless its growth. You crown the earth with your goodness. And your paths drip with what? Your paths drip with abundance. Look at your neighbor, say, God's path drip with abundance. Abundance, let me tell you what abundance is if you don't know. Abundance isn't barely enough. You know, the other day I went to Burger Express, which is a hamburger place by my house, and I didn't have any money, so I reached into a bunch of pockets, and I, you know what, found whatever I found, $4.90, whatever burger special costs, worth of, you know what, change. And as I was, counting whatever it was, $4.98, $4.99, how many know that is not abundance? Amen. I had barely enough. That is not the character of God. Somebody say, oh, I just want enough for my family. Well, you wicked thing, you. I'm smiling. You see me smiling, right? What? No, what? Think about it. Why is that wicked? Let me tell you why that's wicked. Because that's selfish. That's selfish. I don't want just enough for my family. I want enough for my family. I want an abundance. Why? Because I want to be a blessing to other people. Amen. Amen. And listen, and you need to be careful when God starts blessing you. We're going to look at it where you start focusing. Because how many know you can spend... I get caged in sometimes. How many know you can spend, you know what, a lot, you can spend all your money on you. Well, yeah, then you make more money and then you spend more money on you. So you need to watch it there, because there's an abundance. You know, you can spend as much, most people spend, you know what, all their money on them. And if they get a raise, they just buy more stuff. No, you need to watch what's happening in your life. You need to take account of your life. We need to be concerned with other people. We need to be concerned about the things of God. And we need to get off of the mentality that God barely has enough. And that we barely have. No, we are children of God. And God doesn't want us to be greedy or selfish, but he does want us to be a pitcher that we are pouring into other people's lives. Amen. I love what who's the pastor that talked to us before they start TBN? Little guy. Pastor Ed. I love what Pastor Ed, we were there a little while ago. I love what Pastor Ed said. He said, you know what? People are not funding the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what God's people should be first focused on. You know what? The kingdom of God. Okay, I'll give it another chance. Ready? Okay. Let me tell you what people of God should be focused on. They should be first focused on building the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. The reason why I want you to clap and get excited about when we collect the tithes and offerings, because I want you to see it for what it is. It's an opportunity for you to invest in the kingdom of God, a place that there is no better place for you to invest in. We need to change our thinking and start to recognize God wants us. Hey, how come these lights aren't on? They're working on. How come there's not an explosion of excitement when we say, let's talk about tithes and offerings? No, understand what it is. It's an opportunity for you to partner with God himself. God is always wanting to use people in ministering the kingdom of God. He wants to be our God, and he says, I want to be your God, and I want you to be my people. Out here, you know what, years and years ago, and I'll try not to start crying in this story because it's a very emotional story for me. But right where the parking lot is was just an open field. All this was just an open field. And it was our property. But we got some from the city because it was just weeds. And the city said, hey, you know what? You got to be, you know, tending to that crop out there. You know what I mean? Because it's not looking so good. So on Monday nights, me and my dad went out there. My dad was pastor. It's just me and my dad out there. I was like 12 years old. Me and my dad went out there. And you know what? But here's the truth. And he pulled all the weeds. And it was a big, because it was like it wasn't like little weed. It was covered with weeds. It was a huge job. And I remember when we used to get done, he'd say, Drew, I couldn't have done it without you. I used to think, yeah, you could have. Can I tell you what? That's the Father's heart. He wants to be with you. He wanted me to be with him and hang out with him and pull weeds with him. And I don't think you know what I mean? I mean, really think about it. Think about it. I'm not saying I don't know. I'm not trying to figure it out. But who makes the most money here? And even if you make the most money, what is your 10% going to do? Do you understand what I'm saying? But think about it for a minute, because I want you to make sure you have the right mindset. But whether you make, you know what, a $50,000 a year or $20,000 a year, what can that money do when you bring it into the kingdom of God and say, God, you bless it? See, understand that 10%, do you, I don't know if you know this, let me teach you something. That 10% sanctifies that 90%. Do you understand what that means? When you bring that 10% and say, God, this is not mine, this is yours. And you're not doing the, you know, figure it out, and because we can all figure out how we can make, well, you know, we're talking about gross, we're talking about net, or what about, you know what, what about my hair color? I don't think that counts, you know what I mean? Because that's not, you know, I mean, crazy stuff. We can try to figure out how we can bring the least to God. God doesn't want that. He wants you to be honest with him and to bring him 10% of the first fruits. But when you do that, when you say, this doesn't belong to me, can I tell you what? It sanctifies that other 90%. That's why in our mentality, it doesn't make sense. How can I be more prosperous at 90% than at 100%? Because let me tell you what, that 90% ain't going to stay 90%. It's just not. Because now that 90 cents is 90% is blessed of God. Now that 90% is anointed. Hello. Are you still glad you came today? And there's churches where this will not, there's churches where this will not be spoken. Pastor, why do you speak it? Because this is as much the gospel, you know what, as walking in forgiveness. Imagine if at this church we never talked about forgiving people. How many know that would be a church out of balance? That would be, someone would be messed up with that. Well, so too is a church that we're not talking about our responsibility to fund the kingdom of God. And you know what? And responsibility and our opportunity to fund the kingdom of God. Amen. I only have a couple points today, tonight. Very, very simple. Yeah, did somebody say ah? Okay, I'll give you another chance. I only have a couple points tonight. Okay, it's good. Listen, but here, better yet. But they're long points. No, I'm just joking with you. Okay, so I just have a couple points. Okay, but guys, go ahead, show this to me, the Matthew chapter 6. Did you have that Matt 6 before the first point? Matthew chapter 6, 24. You got that? Matthew 6, 24. No one, everybody say no one. No one means you are not the exception. No one can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. Just, it cannot be done. Okay. Mammon is a world system. Let me tell you about the world system. The world system says spend 100% on you. The world system says spend 100% of what you make on you. Actually, exactly. Thank you. That's right. You're led in the Spirit. I was just about to say that. The world system says spend 120% on you. What is that? That's spend every penny on you and then get in debt, you know what, on Visa and MasterCard. That's the world system. But it's all, we'll look at it in a minute, at the end. You know what? The Bible says that in the end days, men will become lovers of self. Well, spend every penny on yourself. You can't serve God and the world system at the same time. But look what it says in same chapter, verse 33. Look at this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things are your provisions, the things that God knows that you have need of. He says, I know you have need of these things. I know. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to first think about the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right standing, his way of doing things, his systems. That's what I want you to put first, to seek first. Everybody say first.
First.
Okay. Now listen, let me tell you what that means. First means before anything else. What first doesn't mean is, yeah, I say first, but in other words, you know what? First we have breakfast, then we have lunch, then we have dinner. How many know you can say, no, dinner's first? How many know you can say that, but how many know dinner's not first? You know, you can say, oh, four is first, but how many know four is not first? How many know one's first? So what I'm saying is, whatever you put first, listen to me, this is deep. That is first. Not you saying, no, God's first. But you don't put God first. You put him 31st or 4th or 8th or whatever it conveniently fits in. Now, can I tell you what? That's not first. And my first point, which is, I only got 2 points. My first point is this. Matthew 6:33 only applies if you seek him first. It only applies. See, all these other things that God, you said, well, how come God's not blessing me? Well, this only applies to you if you are putting God first place in your life. We've spent, I'm not, listen, I'm not, this isn't like a negative thing, so don't take it negatively. But use it. I used to play golf, and when I played golf, the score mattered. I'd play with mainly these two guys, and I'm telling you what, they were very competitive. And they played a lot more golf than I did, but I still was competitive. I mean, I still wanted to win. And it really made a difference who won. Really made a difference. But then later on, I played with this one guy, and it was just, I hadn't played with him. I found out he played golf. I said, hey, maybe, you know, he asked me, he said, hey, maybe you'd like to play golf with me sometime. I said, I'd love to do that. So we met one time, and it was this golf course he wanted to play on. I said, fine, meet you there. Met him there Saturday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was so weird because when we got up on the tee, I was like, oh, do you have a card? You have this card. Do you have the card? Do you have a little pencil? Oh, no, I don't keep score. And I was like, I was like, I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to be rude to him. But in my mind, I thought, why are we playing? Why do we get up at 6 o'clock in the morning if we're not keeping score? I would just, you know what? You keep score. Okay. Listen, I don't say this to be negative at all. I say this to help you keep score. 3 weeks ago, I had this vision. I saw it in Paul wrote Timothy, and he said, this is really important. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you need to start showing, because he says, if you will read the Word of God, you will save your soul. You'll become whole. And not only will you become whole, you'll start making other people whole. Remember this? And the Holy Spirit said, you need to teach that to your whole church. And that, we read our Bible every day, needs to become more than just a response, but something that we need to start doing in a practical sense. And I saw what a difference it'll make in your life. Okay. So I'm not asking you to raise your hand, you know. I'm just asking you to think about it as far as being able to keep score. You know, I had a Car Magia one time, and when I was young, and I loved that car, but I was, you know what, I didn't have a lot of money, and so the gas gauge broke. How many know where this story's going? Okay, how many know that wasn't very good, you know, and so I would try to calculate, the gas gauge broke, but the thing didn't break there, I could figure out how many miles I was going. So I used to gauge it, but how many know that was not a good gauge? Well, sometimes we're just like, no, I love God. And it's just this generic kind of thing, but we don't get real. Use this as a gauge. Are you putting God first? Did you read? Were you consistent to read, you know what, just a chapter a day, every day? I'm not asking for hands. But I'm saying to you is many times we are going through life, and it's like, The Bible is an interesting thing, because almost all of the promises of God are, what's that word I'm looking for? Are conditional. Everybody say conditional. So we read in the Bible, oh, look at this promise. I'm claiming this promise. I'm claiming this promise. Well, listen, you can't claim that promise, because that promise is conditional. Did you meet the condition? Wow. If you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll do that. If you will put me first, then what I'll do is I'll take care of you. And what it's specifically talking about is I'm going to take care of your provision, what you need. Oh, I don't understand, man. I started going to church, and I'm not, you know, when you talk about the blessed life, I'm not blessed. I don't have, you know, this way. And we start to blame God. And God is like, hey, I love you guys. Time out. You don't do a Michael Jackson. You want me to sing it for you? Okay. You're like, ABC, 1, 2, 3? What are you talking about? No, not that song. No. Now I'm thinking about 8 different Michael Jackson songs that I love. Amen. Okay. No. Man in the mirror, are you willing to look at yourself and go, hey, wait a minute? Because let me tell you what. This only applies. This promise of God taking care of your needs only applies to those who are seeking first. Not in mouth, but in actual action. But here's the awesome thing that I want to tell you. You know what? I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you did yesterday. Here, let me say it this way. You know what? You are a good indication that you're putting God first place, you know what, today. Why do I think that? Because you're here. Amen. Amen. And when you start putting God first place, you can start to be confident and say, hey, God, you promise you're going to take care of me. You can start sleeping better at night. You can stop worrying about all these things. Oh, I wonder if. No, just here's what you need to focus on. You need to focus on putting God first place in your life. And when you do that, you know, the negative is if you don't do that, you can't expect a provision. But let's get on the positive. But if you do that, amen? And think about it. Who would want to do that? Why? Because his ways are higher than our ways. You know what? His ways, his paths are dripping with abundance. So let's defer to him. Let's stop worrying about, you know what, where we're going to live and our clothes and our rent and our mortgage and all this stuff. Let's stop worrying about that. Let's start focusing on the kingdom of God and then let's start watching the supernatural abundance come, because I'm telling you what, it will come. It'll come, amen? It'll come. I'm speaking to somebody. It'll come. You know what? Trust in God. Believe in God. Put him first. You know what? Don't put him last. Put him first. Don't put him second. No, last. Don't put him second. Put him before your family. Put him before yourself. Put him before your golf game. Put him before, you know what, your sport, you know what, trivia or whatever. You know what? Put him before anything. Put him first. And watch and then start expecting. Because let me tell you what, God will not lie. The reality is, what we've said for a long time, good choice is good life. You can have a good life. Amen. Amen. My second point is this. There is powerful blessings when you put God first. I'm talking about supernatural. Understand this. That when Israel, when Israel was blessed with supernatural blessings, God wanted them to live in houses that they didn't build. What's that? Supernatural. Wells that they didn't dig. Take in fruit that they didn't plant. That's what God wants. It's powerful. It's supernatural. And you can, in your head, you think, I don't know how he's going to do it. Don't worry about how he's going to do it. Just start to believe supernatural abundance is coming. It doesn't have to make sense. I cannot tell you how many times God continues to bless Tamara and I supernaturally. And let me tell you why. Because we put him first. We put him first. We put him first. We insist that our kids put him first. Amen. You know what? We teach our kids. You know what? They get $100. We ask them, hey, you got $10 coming in? Why am I doing that? Because what Tamara shared. You know what? Let me tell you what. You're going to have to teach your kids how to be, you know what, how to be generous. You don't have to teach your kids how to be selfish. Amen. You got to, amen. I'm smiling, right? You got to teach you how to be generous. Hey, let me just prove my point. Do you remember when your mom, there would be a candy bar or something or a piece of cake or something, and you wanted it and your sister wanted it, and she would split it right down the middle? Let me just ask you. Or she'd say, you break it down the middle. You break it, and you know what? And whoever breaks it, the other person gets to choose. I'm just asking, did you want to be the breaker or did you want to be the chooser? I always want to be the chooser. And if I was the breaker, man, I was really focused to get it in the middle. Okay, why? Why? Because there's a propensity. There's a propensity. That propensity just means that there's something inside you that it's your flesh that has a tendency to be selfish. The Bible calls it an iniquity. Okay. But what God wants us is to put Him first, and when we do, understand there's supernatural. It's not natural. It's supernatural. Things will happen. Bills will get paid. Checks will come in. People will be like, oh, I don't think you should say. You know, there is this gray poupon. Oh, pastors, you shouldn't talk about that. Well, listen, I should talk about that because that's throughout the Bible. Amen? Amen. God encourages us and says that you must believe that God is. You have to believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is into reaping and sowing. He's not against that. He's for that. And He wants to encourage us to be generous and selfless and caring and giving. And He does that by saying, let me tell you what, if you'll do this, let me tell you what, there's this super, it's not natural, it's supernatural. I will put you in houses that you didn't even build. Amen. Oh my goodness. Couple of scriptures. Guys, follow me because I'm not going to go through all those scriptures, but I want to get to some other scriptures. Turn to Exodus 20. Just look it up on the screen. Exodus 23. Exodus 23. You shall have no other gods before me. What's God saying? I want to be first. I want to be first. Next scripture, Exodus 22:29. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. You don't ever say don't delay. Okay. So I know none of you have ever experienced this with your children, but you have a child at home, he's watching TV, and you say, hey, take out the trash. And they're watching some on TV and they'll say, yeah, in a minute. But they don't really mean it in a minute. They mean like in like 58 hours. Okay. Now listen, when you delay, this is important. When you delay, delaying is a form of you not putting God first. Amen. Amen. How many if your employer, you know what, let's say you get paid on a Friday. Say you get paid on Friday. At Albertsons, we got paid on Thursday. So let's make it to Thursday. So I got paid on Thursday. How many know if I went and we went to the office, knocked on the door and said, hey, you know what, it's Thursday. You know what, and so sometimes if we're working on Thursday, they just call us to the office and give us a check, okay? But how many know if they said, you know what, if they said, if we knocked on the door and said, hey, you know, it's payday, can I, and they said, oh, we didn't get to it today. You know what? We'll try to get to it tomorrow. How many know? Come on, somebody get real with me. How many of you would freak out if they said, come on, don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. How many would freak out if they said, well, you know what? We had a little delay. See, let me tell you what's going on there. For you, you don't want anybody to delay. You want it. That's what they said. Boom, 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 boom. But watch this. I'm just saying. But many times to God, we'll praise him. We'll serve him. We'll bring in what we can, when we can, if we can, after everything's got taken care of. And you know, let me tell you what that is. That is not, listen to me, that is not putting God first. And referring back to my first point, that Matthew 6:33 only applies to you if you're doing that first. I don't understand. Pastor talks about, you know, him and Tamar all blessed. You know, I always want to get supernatural blessed. You know, we're talking about. I almost took a picture of my barbecue. I said, I got a nice barbecue. Amen. Nice barbecue. Did you guys hear the barbecue story? I got a nicest barbecue. I mean, it's nice. Okay, and I had this like junkety bar. I mean, just junk. Just junk. But it served me well for a lot of years. Okay. And every time I'd go over to Home Depot, I'd think, man, I need to buy another barbecue. I need to get this nice chrome, you know what, 5-burner. You know what? I need a nice barbecue. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But then every time I felt like the Holy Spirit said, No, not yet. And then just like 3 weeks ago, somebody said, hey, you know what? You want my barbecue? I never use it. It's almost new. You know what I mean? They brought it over. I'm telling you. This is the creme de la creme of barbecues. Listen, I own like the Rolls Royce of barbecues. But listen, I could talk to you over and over and over about the blessings of God that I walk in, that we walk in. Can I tell you why? Because God is not a liar. And if you'll put him first. And let me tell you, I'm talking about a financial blessing. But how many know finances sometimes are just a minimal of what you need? How about having your kids serve the Lord? How about being supernaturally healed? How about having an awesome relationship with your wife or your kids? Hey, how about your kids, your teenagers? How about your teenagers telling them before they go to bed that they love you? How about that? So let me tell you what. When the Bible says God will open up the windows of heaven, he's not just talking about financial blessings. Amen. But delaying is a form of putting someone else, I'll get to it when I get around to it. Are you learning something tonight? Are you inspired tonight? Are you inspired enough, I'm just asking, are you inspired enough to make a change? You don't even know what I'm going to say yet, but I like your enthusiasm, amen? Are you inspired enough to make a change in your priority list? Thank you for anticipating. That's good. Mark 12:30. Look at Mark 12:30 up here on the screens. Mark 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Do you see it? He just wants you all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is, what is it? See, God wants to be. You know why this is deep. You know why this is the first commandment? Because God wants to be first. Amen. All right. Can you handle this? Yes. I'm asking you because we're going a little deeper. Can you handle this? Okay. I was just asking. Luke 9. And I want you to see this. And we got to actually, guys, can you take it back to 57. Luke 9. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you where that I go. How many know words are cheap? How many know you can say, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go? How many know that? How many know you can just say it, but it's another thing to back it up with your actions? So watch how Jesus responds. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In other words, he's trying to say, wait. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Now watch this. This is so good. Then he said to another, follow me. Can I tell you what? God says, you know, we think, remember, you know the story of the rich young ruler? Rich young ruler comes in, you know what? He says, I want you to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And we think, oh, I'm sure God didn't ask me. God didn't ask me to give me everything. Can I tell you what? God says the same thing to every single one of us. He wants everything you have. He says the same thing to every single one of us. Says it to this guy. You know what? Look what he says. And he said to another, follow me. Stop what you're doing. Follow me. Drop what you're doing. All the stuff that was important to you. That's what God's saying to us. All the things that are important to us. Stop it. And follow me. Put me first. Stop just coming. I'm speaking to somebody. Stop just coming to church. Stop acting, you know what, godly on Sunday and Wednesday. But I want you to stop. Repent. Turn from your ways. Follow me. So God says to this guy, here's what I want you. I want you to follow me. But he said, listen to his response. Lord, let me first go and bury my dead father. Why is that not okay? Because God wants to be first. And this guy's saying, no, let me first. Now look at Jesus' response, because this is radical. We think Jesus is like, oh, if anything, you know, oh, if everything's good and everything's fine, and if you're okay, and if is the seat comfortable, is it too cool in here? You know what I mean? I hope nobody offended you. You know what I mean? I hope your root beer has enough root beer. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? And everything, you know, please come back. Don't get me wrong, Tamara and I want to serve you. Can I tell you what? That is a funky Christianity. God says, let me tell you what. Let the dead, that's what he says, let the dead bury the dead. I'm offended that you care more about this stuff going on than you two care about following me. And we get offended at that. I mean, imagine, we get offended at Jesus. You didn't care about family? I'm offended by your being offended. it is a sign of where we are. God says, I want you to put me first. And first doesn't mean after you do this. Now let me say this just so you know, because many scholars say that there would be indication that if his father was really dead, there'd be a whole kinds of ceremony. He wouldn't even be in this place. That his father actually hadn't died yet, but he's waiting for his father to die. There's other people who will indicate, or they'll think that the motivation, what he's really saying here, is because you ain't going to get any money until your father dies. So there's people who speculate that God was really talking about this guy who was saying, listen, I'm going to follow you after. But however you judge that, here's what we know from Scripture. Can I just teach you some good hermeneutics? Good Bible study doesn't say what it doesn't say. Do you understand? No matter what a commentary says. Here's what I know it says. Here's what I know it says. God says, I want you to put me first, and don't worry about, you know what, the burial of your dad. And we freak out on that. And I'd say, God deserves everything. And when we put our family, we have exalted our family above God. And Bible's clear, that's hideous in his mind. I'm not saying that he doesn't think your family is important. I'm saying that he says, I want your affection before your spouse, before your kids, before your grandkids, before anyone I want it. Are you learning something? Okay. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Okay, verse 61. And to another he said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first. You see all the problem? Problem is first. And then this person said, let me first go bid farewell. And let me just say goodbye. Look at God's response. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what. I need to be first place. And I take offense by you having all these excuses what you got to do first. Revelation 2:24 says this. Oh, you guys don't have that. I'm sorry. I forgot to give it to you. Revelation 2:24 says, now to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they... Okay, that is not the verse I was looking at. I just quoted to you. Here's what it says in some place in Revelations. Amen. Here's what it says. God says, here's what you've done. You've lost. You've left your first love. Maybe you can relate it to how crazy you were in love with your wife when you first started dating. When she said, you remember when your wife said yes to you? You were like, you know what? You're like, oh, cool. You're like, oh, cool. Oh, 2:4. 2:4. Okay. So do you remember how you were? You're like, you know, hey, you know what? I was wondering if you wanted to go out on Friday. And they're like, okay, all right. And you're like, okay. What 7 o'clock? Can pick you up at 7? They're like, okay, 7. And you're like, oh, cool. And it's like, you're like, yeah, she said yes to me. Like, we are the champions, my friends. Right? Do you remember this? Remember this? You know what God says? Hey. Remember how it used to be? Remember how you put me first? Man, I want that back. Mark 8:36. For what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What's he going to gain? What's he going to gain? Turn real. I don't. You guys don't have this. Turn real quick to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. Look what it says. And you can read this. I'm going to set you up. Look what it says. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will become lovers of themselves. Many people who go to church, they put themselves in front of God. That's the main thing they do. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedience to parents, unthankful, unholy. Unthankful, and let me just tell you, ungratefulness is one of the wicked, most wicked things that people do. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You're like, oh, those wicked people, they don't go to church. Hang on. Hang on. Because look at verse 5. It should freak us out. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. It's not necessarily talking about people who don't go to church. See, in the end times, there'll be, I'll just connect this all together and we'll end here. There'll be perilous times. Love you guys. There will be perilous times in your life. Here's why. Because what is the reciprocal of God's paths are dripping with abundance? Your paths are void of provision. So you've got to figure out what you're going to do. You know what? Because let me tell you, when I text that person back the response, here's what just came out of my spirit. You know what? I said something about living a life completely sold out, being radically saved. And then here's what I said. And you know what the truth is? That is really the only way you can be saved. It's really the only way. But here's what I want to tell you. If you will stop putting other people, other things in front of God, including yourself, including your family, and including your finances, if you'll stop doing that, then here's what I can promise you, that you'll start living this radical life. Because let me tell you what, God's paths are dripping with abundance. And it's not, I'm telling you, and it's a supernatural way to live. And that's what Tamara and I are believing that's going to happen to our church. That our church is going to get so fired up for Jesus. And it's not hard. It's simple. You can start right away. Tamara.
Sorry about the lights. We worked really hard to have it extra light tonight, and so I don't know what happened, but we don't have any of them. Instead of having five, we have nothing. So it's a little dark up here, so forgive us for that. On the promises being conditional, I'm going to read you something, and you tell me if you'd like that, okay? And then I'll tell you what you need to do to get it. These are right out of the Word of God, okay? So that God will be a place of refuge, which means protection, for your children. Yes, I want that. Okay? That's one of the conditional things. Let's look above that, what it is that we do for God to be a refuge, for a place for our children, those who fear the Lord. And it's not just that he'll be a refuge for our children. It says that we'll be secure and he'll be a place of safety for our children. Those who fear him. What does fear the Lord mean? Not to be afraid of God. Here's what the fear of the Lord means. That we believe his word enough that it moves us to action. In other words, what he says is going to happen, we really believe that. And so we do whatever it is he says, because we know that whatever he says, that's the truth. All right, here's another one. That God's peace will guard your heart and your mind. Who would like that? I'll take that. Okay, those who live their life in Christ Jesus, who don't worry about anything, instead they pray about everything, and they tell God what they need, and they thank him for all that he has done. And if you do these things, God's peace will guard your heart and your mind. So if you don't have the peace of God guarding your heart and your mind, see, who's it on? It's not on God, it's on us, amen? We're missing something. And then I'm just going to quickly read you your Revelation scripture in 2:4. He says, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. And so here's 12 signs that you may have left, like a little test, you know what I mean, that you may have left your first love. Christianity is more of a checklist than a relationship with Jesus Christ. That your heart towards Christ is cold and indifferent, not tender as it once was, not easily moved by the word or talk of spiritual things. You spend more time and effort on your physical appearance than on cultivating an inner spiritual place of beauty in your heart. You crave physical food while having little appetite for spiritual food. You're more concerned about your physical health and your well-being and comfort than about the well-being and the condition of your own soul. Private prayer and worship are almost non-existent. They become cold and dry. Your worship is formal, dry, lifeless, and merely a routine. Spending time in prayer is a burden or a duty rather than a delight. You don't have a strong hunger for the word, for your Bible reading. It's a chore, something that you have to do, something that you have to check off your to-do list. You do not have a strong desire to spend time with him, and you can go hours or days without even having a thought of him. And that was just, actually there was 40 of them, but we don't have the time. That was just 12. And I thought as I, those conditional promises, you know, people can go, well, that's not right. But you know, think about it. I'm in a relationship with my husband, and there's things I expect from him. I do not expect Mark to come to my house and to take care of the maintenance around my home. I don't expect that of you. Never have, never will. Why? Because you're not my husband. I expect that from my husband. God has a relationship with us, and there's things that he expects from us in that relationship. And then there's benefits to us from that relationship, is there not? And so if we will put things in proper perspective, that our Christianity is to be about our relationship with God, then we begin to understand the conditions on so many of the promises of God. Because it's about whether or not you have a relationship with him. And if you don't have a relationship with him, then you miss out on things. Is that true? It's true. We wouldn't expect funky things from people that we don't have relationships with, huh?